Dr. Akadi?
And, yes. And you could actually use the mouse to just forward to the next slide. And if you could please make, if it's not in your presentation, please make an oral declaration.
Okay. So what do I move it forward?
You just click.
Good morning. This is the outline of my presentation.
Could you make an oral declaration whether you have a conflict of interest?
I have no conflict of interest whatsoever. Okay. Explain.
Yeah, just make a left click. Hmm? It for, if you make a left click, it forwards.
In the next few minutes, I want to share with you a few thoughts about the problem of the establishment of small error data for health disparities analysis. The study takes from the basic proposition that the area we live has an effect on our health status. So if we live in an area with good ecology, chances are that our health will be good. If, on the other hand, we live in an area that has poor ecology, chances are that our health will be poor. And so it's important for us to then understand the ecology of the environment in which we live. And that's why my paper is so titled. In 2006, the National Health Disparities Report actually concluded that one of the best ways to understand health disparities is to create small area databases, what they called neighborhood databases for health disparities analysis. The good thing about this approach is that you're able to take an X-ray of different neighborhoods in your geospatial area and to compare to see what exists in those areas that account for one area having a better health status than another. This is what a small area does for you. So because of that recommendation, and in fact, even before the recommendation, there was evidence in the literature that small area data had been in demand for, I mean, since about 1938. It's been used for a lot of studies. So it's important for us to understand what a small area is, and my definition of a small area is simply any geographic area below the county level. And I've included three of them here. Well, the first, of course, is zip code. The second is the census tract. And the third is the blood group level. The zip code, as you may know, is actually not a census designation. It's a designation for the United States Postal Service. However, the Census Bureau uses it to conduct data surveys and reporting. The analysis for health disparities usually is based upon what we call the community health model. The community health model actually has uses as its dependent variables all health indicators, all health measures as dependent variables. The independent variables are usually socioeconomic data collected and reported by the U.S. Census Bureau. And you can find those data in the American Fact Finder, SF3, as well as in the American Community Survey. This is the hierarchy that the Census Bureau uses to report its, to collect and report its data. You notice that at the head of this the diagram is the nation, and at the bottom are blocks. So the Census Bureau then collects and reports data according to this superior subordinate hierarchy. Unfortunately, in the community health model, the health indicators, the data collected for health indicators are not collected according to this hierarchy, even when the independent variables, which are the socioeconomic determinants, are collected according to a hierarchy. This is an example. A table that we created of diabetes in one of the counties in Tennessee. This is Davidson County, where I live. This is an example of a survey that was done by the local public health agency on diabetes. You can see that this data is collected and reported according to zip codes. For example, in the zip code 37201, we have that 14.29% of the respondents said they had diabetes, and all the way down to 37228, where 22.2% say they had diabetes. That column came from geocoding that was done jointly with the local public health department. But the rest of the columns came from Census Bureau data. This next table is done for census tracts for different things. Again, the idea here is to take a disease or sets of diseases and geocode them or find a way to report the indicators in small area forms. You will notice that some of the numbers here just don't make sense. They don't make sense. And I will come back to that later on. Apart from the fact that the 2006 National Health Disparity Report actually encourages us to use small area data, it is in fact a very dominant form of health analysis in the United Kingdom. In all of the United Kingdom, the entire country is divided into what you call wards, and every ward has a reported health indicator along with associated socioeconomic determinants. This is what we need to do in this country in order for us to make health disparities analysis credible. So what is the problem? I'm going to highlight about three problems here, even though I don't have much time. The three basic problems I want to highlight are the fact that the structure of data collection in most local public health communities needs to be changed. It's outdated. It's outdated because it's top-bottom and not bottom-up. I believe that data collection within local health communities need to be driven by the research needs of the community and by the needs of data users. That does not happen in many jurisdictions. The second problem is that in many of these local jurisdictions, there is not a sense of a public health community. There is very little communication that goes on between the state health department, the local health department, and community users and university researchers. And because of that, the data we generate independently are at a risk for use for health disparity analysis. The tables I showed you earlier, for example, it would be nice for me to go back to the local health department and say, this is what I did from geocoding. And get in people from the State Department and see how credible, how reliable these kinds of disaggregation is. So those are the three problems that my study wishes to highlight. Let me wrap up here because of time. So the major constraints to developing this kind of small area database is the fact that there is not a sense of public health community. I don't know how many of you have picked up a phone and called your state health department or your county health department and asked for certain kinds of data. They transfer you from one telephone number to another until you put the telephone down out of frustration. when you go there to talk to somebody, you hardly know who to talk to. It's very important that communication exists at this level because, again, as I said, the methods of generating small area data are such that there needs to be a consensus that when you see them, they can be used to generate data on the neighborhood. And so the state health department, the county health department, and the community users need to be in agreement that a small area database is a credible database. And that can happen only with the leadership from the state to the county to the community. The second thing is that within our communities, there are not enough people who understand that the area they live may have an impact upon their health. They don't know how to use data that come from these kinds of analysis. And so it is the responsibility of the state, the local county, and the data users locally to actually educate these communities. The information coming from the state, the county, and some of us researchers too is confusing to most of these communities. The final problem I want to highlight is that I don't know about your community, but in my county, the state health department believes that it is the responsibility of the county public health department to generate data below the county level. The county health department says that the data they use, a lot of it comes from the state along with CDC, and that they are not at liberty to release this data to users. So you the state asks you to go to the county says, well, you have to go back to the state, and there's no telling what this leads to. The county sometimes says that because of budgetary problems, it cannot conduct data surveys and data collection at the zip code and census tract levels. The budget does not allow them to do that. The final reason that I'm going to discuss with you is the issue of statutory authority. Some of the problems I've had with our county public health department is that they really have no statutory authority to collect data because of privacy issues. Due partly to HIPAA, and this creates a problem. So what they do is, at least in my jurisdiction, is that if you have your own budget, if you have your own money, you can contract with them to help you generate the kind of small area data you need. Otherwise, you are on your own. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ricciardi. Again, we'd like to remind our audience to please save their questions and comments at the end of the session. We will have several minutes devoted to that. Our next presenter is Dr. Arthur Seiji Hayashi. He is currently an assistant research professor at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. He's the Associate Director of the Gibson Program in Community Health Policy under the Department of Health Policy in the same university. He is also a practicing family physician for Unity Healthcare Incorporated. Dr. Hayashi is committed to increasing healthcare and eliminating health disparities in medically underserved and vulnerable communities by building community capacity and developing community academic partnerships. Dr. Hayashi.
Okay, escape button.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Next presentation. Yeah.